My Life in Christ, Book 2, by St. John of Kronstadt, starting page 214. May my soul always remember that God the Word, together with the Father and the Holy Ghost, at every moment upholdeth all the worlds by the word of his power, and almost and amongst them my small world too, the soul and body, and that he at every moment knows not only the number of the hairs of my head, but also the number of the quality of my thoughts and the movements of my heart, for everything exists and is accomplished before his clearest eyes. May my soul understand that as everything proceeded from God and exists in God, therefore the Lord God is the most perfect manner, knows at every moment of the existence and of the nature of every being, and that he supports its existence at every moment, for the laws of nature given to him, if we ourselves, having written a book, know all about its disposition and context, about all the ideas to be found in it, so that when other people explain us the idea, and especially the plan of our book, we say that it is our plan, our idea, then why should we take from the Lord his omniscience of all worlds and of all creatures, of all things contained in the world, with all their qualities and conditions? Are they not, so to say, the book of God? And thus, my soul, reverence thy Creator every moment of thy life, and know that at every moment he knows thee wholly, that he supports and gives thee life and everything necessary for thy existence and welfare. How could anything have endured if it had not been thy will? Men are ashamed to acknowledge that they do not believe in their high calling and destiny, in fact, of their being the priceless image of God, most dear to God, for whom has been prepared and promised infinitely great bliss in heaven in union with God. As a poor man does not believe that he may in future become a rich and very distinguished person, so many Christians do not believe that they shall possess a wealth of future blessings and shall freely be made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We may well wonder how, without any special merits on our part, we can expect such high honor and glory, such riches. We are self-loving, covetous, avaricious, and therefore we are unable to understand how such infinite love, such a wise and disinterested Father can exist. It is as though we still cannot believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. St. John 3rd chapter, 16th verse. Men are people perplexed. And to tell the truth, many do not believe in the honor which is promised to the righteous in the future life, because Satan has lowered mankind in its own eyes. But this honor shall truly be, and we should hope to gain it, for man is the image of God, and it is for this that the Son of God was incarnate, in order to re-establish his image. This idea is developed in the Holy Scriptures. If at any time you doubt in God or in the dogma of the Most Holy Trinity, remember the short doxology. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. And think what little importance you yourself have in comparison with the men of all ages, of whom there were an infinite number of great and divinely bright intellects, and who all heartily, unanimously ascribed glory to the one God in the three persons. As our Creator and God is one, therefore he brings together and unites all things, and for the believing soul there is nothing far away that he cannot bring near by means of faith. Do you wish to converse with, not to speak of God, who is everywhere, but with the high and heavenly powers, principalities, archangels and angels, you can do so. In accordance with your prayer, they will instruct, enlighten, strengthen you in your faith. Or do you wish to converse with the departed saints? You can do so. They will be with you at your first heartfelt call, especially the Most Holy Virgin, Mother of God, our most speedy mediatrix. We unceasingly glorify thee, O Christ, who has indescribably joined the earthly to the heavenly, and has established one church for the angels and men, canon of the archangel. Christ is the head, both of angels and men. With such a head, what then cannot be near to us? And how near to us must the head himself be in order to hear us? Experience convinces us that he hears us as the saints also hear us. The Lord has full respect for nature, which he has created, and for her laws as the production of his own infinite, most perfect wisdom. This is why he usually accomplishes his will through the medium of nature and her laws. For instance, when he punishes men or blesses them, therefore do not require miracles of him without extreme necessity. The Lord especially highly esteems the works of his hand, gifted with reason and free will, that is, the angels and saints, and the works through them for our sanctification and salvation. Therefore, do not say, I always have recourse straight to God alone with my needs, with my prayer. It is sometimes also necessary for you to have recourse to the saints as his instruments and organs. God himself does not wish that those holy temples of his grace and his divine spirit should remain inactive in the work of our salvation. Like you young birds under the wing of the hen, so the whole universe, all the assemblies of angels, all men, all senseless animals, all material worlds are under the Lord's wing. He enlightens all and everything, some with mental light and others with material light. He warms all, some with spiritual warmth and others with material warmth. And as the hen hears the cries and the sighs of the young birds under it, so the Lord hears even our secret sighs, our prayers, our praises, and sees all our needs. My trust shall be under the covering of thy wings. It is good for me to pray for men when I partake worthily, that is, consciously, of the Holy Communion. Then the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, my God, is within me, and I feel great boldness before him. Then the King is within me, as in his abode. I may ask what I will. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. St. John 14, chapter 22 and verse, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, St. John 15, chapter 7, verse. During prayer, it is necessary to have such faith that there should not even for a single moment be any secret doubt or any secret thought in the heart that God does not hear us. And it is necessary, furthermore, that our soul should represent God before itself during the whole time of our prayer and converse with Him as with a king. If we sinners pray and make supplications to the Lord for ourselves and for others, if when living upon earth the saints pray for others and ask God for what is needful for them, then much more will they do so when they are transplanted to eternity and are face to face with God by virtue of the great mediatory sacrifice of the Son of God. The prayers of the saints, especially those of His most pure Mother, possess, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of mediation. This is the Lord's recompense for the merits of the saints. The foundation of prayer is the yearning of the image towards its prototype, as of like to like. During prayer, have the thought that you, speaking of a priest, are a steward of the most precious prayerful inheritance of the Church, that you are an impure, unworthy steward, and that your work consists in reverently opening your heart and watering it with these pure streams of the words of prayer, but not in reasoning about them at your own free will. It is remarkable today, I feel a doubt, of course, suggested by the evil one on the subject of the turn of the phrase in the prayer, namely, doubt who alone has the power to forgive sins by the prayers of thy most holy mother and of all the saints, prayer for the woman on the first day after childbirth. And I was covered with shame in my reasoning. The enemy struck me, hindered me, disturbed me during public prayer. But in what respect was my thought false? I thought thus, how God has the power to forgive sins by the prayers of His most pure Mother and those of the saints and not independently of Himself. Of course He has the power without the prayers of others. He alone has the power, but in order to honor the exalted virtues of the saints, and especially those of His Mother, the saints, who are His friends, who pleased Him with all their might during their earthly life, He accepts their prayerful intercession for us, and what He wants for us, who must often stop their mouths on account of our great and frequent transgressions. Remember Moses, who interceded for the Hebrew people and obtained life for them from God whom they had angered. Some may say that God might have spared His people even without Moses' prayer, but then God would have been, so to say, unjust in bestowing life upon those who were not worthy of life, after He Himself had decreed that they should die. But when Moses, a righteous, meek, and humble man, began to intercede for them, then the most just God was appeased at the sight of a righteous man, at his love for God and His people. And for the sake of Moses' merits, the Lord forgave the unworthy, that is, the unrighteous, for the sake of the righteous. So likewise now, of ourselves, through our great and frequent sins and iniquities, are unworthy of His mercy. Through Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be towards His people. Jeremiah 15:1, said the Lord to Jeremiah of the Jews. From this is evident that the Lord accepts the intercession of the saints for the evildoers, when the sins of these, alas, do not exceed the measure of God's forbearance. The Lord, knowing the infirmity of our nature, darkened and weighted down by sin, and rising with difficulty to God through faith, has pleased to condescend to us into the likeness of our being, and to taking upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians 2:7. In human flesh, such is his love. But as it was impossible for him to eternally remain in a human body on earth, whilst it was necessary in accordance with the plans of God's ordering to ascend up with it into heaven, therefore for the infirmity of all the future generations of men, and in the remembrance of his eternal love for them, of his sufferings and death, he changes by the Holy Spirit ordinary bread into his own body, and ordinary wine into his own blood, and by his Spirit dwells wholly in this bread and wine, so that under the form of bread and wine, Christ the life-giver, the Lord himself, is wholly there. O unspeakable love, truly divine, the Lord has wholly used his infinitely great wisdom, his infinite power for our salvation. Our infirmity is thus made not only to see the Lord by means of faith, but even to taste him with our tongue, and especially with our heart and with our whole soul. Glory to the Lord for having so loved us. God grant that even after death, our brotherly union with our departed relatives and those whom we knew in this life may not be broken off, that our love may not be extinguished, but may burn with a bright flame, and that constant true remembrance of those at rest may ever remain with us until our death. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. St. Mark, first chapter, 24th verse, and St. Matthew, 7th chapter, 2nd verse. In receiving the Holy Sacrament, be as undoubtedly sure that you communicate of the body and blood of Christ as you are sure that every moment you breathe air. Say to yourself, as surely as I constantly breathe the air, so surely do I now receive unto myself, together with the air, my Lord Jesus Christ himself, by breathing my life, my joy, my breathing, my life, my joy, and my salvation. He is my breath before air at every moment of my life. He is my word before any other word. He is my thought before any other thought. He is my light before any other light. He is my meat and drink before any other meat and drink. He is my raiment before any other raiment. He is my fragrance before any other fragrance. He is my sweetness before any other sweetness. He is my father and mother before any other father and mother before the earth. He is the firmest ground that nothing can ever shake, and that bears me, as we earthly creatures forget that at all times we breathe, live, move, and exist in him, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, for ourselves. He has opened unto us in his holy mysteries, in his blood, the source of living water flowing into life eternal, and gives himself to us as food and drink, in order that we might live through him. 1 John 4th chapter 9th verse. As the evil spirits are always near to us, and act upon us very rapidly and easily, so near to us, and even incomparably nearer, are the Lord God, the most pure Mother of God, and the holy angels, and God's saints, and they act upon us still more rapidly and easily, for the evil spirits can only act upon us by God's permission. whilst the Lord God acts independently with the most entire freedom, and as being everywhere present and fittest all things, the most pure Mother of God and the holy angels and saints act upon us as being one with Him through His grace. Thou, O Lord, has given an heritage unto those that fear Thy name. God has given Himself as a heritage, a possession of those who fear Him. What a great gift! Prayer is founded upon faith. I believe that there is a God before whom I lay my prayer, that there is an Almighty, holding all creatures in the palms of His hand and giving various kinds of voices to His creatures for inward intercourse amongst themselves, but not needing any voice Himself. I trust that my prayer will reach Him, or to speak more exactly, will go direct from my heart to His ears. Similarly, the correspondence of the Son with the Father, with His children, or between friends at a distance from each other, is also founded on faith. They are sure, when writing letters, that the person to whom they write are alive. They trust that their written conversation will reach them, will produce certain impressions, ideas, and feelings corresponding to those expressed in the letter, and that they will answer the letter in accordance with its contents. As in life we are guided in many things by faith and hope, so much more in relation to the spiritual world should we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, 7th verse. When in any place, either in the house or in a vessel at sea, or under the open sky, you doubt in the presence of God, then present to your heart the following proofs of the sure presence of God in that place. God keeps all things in His power, amongst them myself, with my soul and body, and every hard substance, and every liquid and transparent substance. Thus He also keeps the very air in which I stand, and by which I breathe, keeps every particle in it, and therefore He is called the upholder of all things, and He holds in the palm of His hand all the creatures, down to the very smallest. How then is it possible that He should not be anywhere in any place? How is it possible that the truth of things, the origin of their beings, should not be anywhere? If you say these words to yourself inwardly, your heart, struck by doubt, shall immediately revive and be at rest, which also serves as a strong proof of the omnipresence of God, especially in our souls. Glory to Thee, O powerful King, Light. Whether you are praying, or sitting, or walking, or lying down, or thinking, or rejoicing, or sorrowing, whether you are well or ill, at home or out, on land or at sea, be continually and fully assured that God sees you clearly, most clearly, in all perfection, with all your thoughts, desires, works, in every condition, at every moment of your existence, that He hears more perfectly than the finest hearing all your inward movements, all your words, though He Himself has neither sight nor hearing. These separate and complex and therefore imperfect organs of recognition, though they are perfect for us, being Himself all the sight in His being, wherefore the Greeks called Him Theos, and all hearing, or to speak more exactly, all light and vision. Remember constantly that the light of your soul, of your thoughts, and of your heart comes from Jesus Christ. He is the light of the eyes of our heart, not like the light that comes from the sun that appears and disappears and does not penetrate through an opaque substance. but leaves many things in darkness and cannot enlighten one single soul in the darkness of sin. But he is the true light, which lighteth every man, that he is the principal part of his being, the soul, that cometh into the world. Yes, the light of the Christ enlightens all, even the heathens, a light to lighten the Gentiles. St. Luke 2:32. It shines even in the darkness of sin by a sinful human darkness, but sinful human darkness, or rather the men living in the darkness of sin, do not understand it, comprehend it not. St. John 1:5. They do not guess that the light which is in their soul is Christ, and think that it is their own natural light, that they themselves, by means of their natural intellect, their own sagacity and judgment, have attained to certain truths, have accomplished certain work. They do not think that it is only by the light of Christ that they see every light. The light of every noble science, of every noble art, and of everything. We have within us a spiritual eye with which we see a million times more than we are able by the means of our bodily sight, which is merely an instrument of the spiritual eye, a conductor through which the soul either thinks or recognizes all things visible. What are the objects of contemplation for this spiritual eye? The phenomena of the spiritual world. Beside the visible world, there is God, an infinite spirit, an infinite mind, who has created and creates all things in the material world, which is the realization of his thoughts, ideas. But there is a spiritual world, angelic, innumerable, living in constant contemplation of Godhead and of all the works of his omnipotence and great wisdom. Our spiritual eyes relates above all to the Lord, and in this case its functions are called contemplation and meditation on God. This contemplation and meditation on God can extend into infinity, as God himself is infinite, and have the property of cleansing the soul from sin, of perfecting it, and bringing it nearer and nearer to God, the source of our life, of our light, or of our thought and life. After this, we contemplate the angelic orders according to the measure of God's revelation, and their spiritual light-bearing nature, their spiritual goodness, their love of God for each other and for mankind, their guarding actions in relation to our earth and its elements, to human communities, to holy and other places, and especially to every Christian. Besides this, the spiritual eye turns within to the man himself, and then its function is called self-examination, self-knowledge, self-introspection, spiritual watchfulness over our own thoughts and desires. As the Spirit of God dwells in a multitude of Christians and holy in all, together with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and at the same time is holy everywhere in heaven and on earth, so likewise Jesus Christ is in every particle of his body and blood, holy in all Christian churches, and at the same time he is holy everywhere in heaven and on earth. As God, he is omnipresent, and there is no place where he is not wholly present. I take one particle of the Eucharist, and he is wholly there. I take another, and he is wholly there. A third, and so on. But in all of them, there is the one, the same Christ. The mental denial of any of the three unoriginate lights is equally death to the soul. In this matter, God truly shows us that each of the three persons of the Godhead is our life, the life and lives, Canon of St. Andrew of Crete, we easily recognize the enemy by the denial of the persons of the Godhead, by the burning of his falsehood in our heart, by the darkness and oppression arising from this in our soul. As by the light of the sun we see the air, earth, water, and everything found in them, so by the light of the mental sun in our heart, we see the world of spirits, the angels and God's saints, the Mother of God, the patriarchs, prophets, apostles, martyrs, hierarchs, venerable men, and all the saints. We see them with our spiritual sight by faith. In the same manner as with our bodily eyesight, we see the objects of the material world. Thus, a simple, pure heart sees, for instance, the Mother of God with the inward eyes in the same manner as the natural sight sees her image or any other visible object. The sight of the Lord's mercy, the sign of the Lord's mercy, or of that of his most pure mother to us, after or during prayer, is peace of heart, especially after the action of some passion, whose property is the absence of spiritual peace. With this peace of heart and the kind of holy tenderness of heart, we can also easily recognize that our prayer has been heard and that the grace asked in it has been granted to us. The success of prayer is also recognized by the spiritual power which we inwardly obtain for the fulfillment of the duties of our calling, and by the inward light manifestly entering into our soul. The whole world is but a cobweb in comparison to the Christian human soul. Nothing in it is constant and sure. We cannot lean trustingly upon anything. Everything breaks. We must not cleave to anything with our heart except to the one God who has spread out this cobweb and who supports it and gives it life. To whatever you attach yourself except to God, everything wounds and oppresses the heart, while its entire attachment to Him alone is life-giving. And what does the life of a Christian consist? In having nothing in the heart but Christ, or, if possessing earthly blessings, in not in the least attaching himself to them, but in clinging with the whole heart to Christ. Though God knows all our needs, prayer is necessary for the cleansing and enlightenment of our soul. It is well to stand in the sunshine. It is warm and light. Likewise, when standing in prayer before God, our spiritual son, we are warmed and enlightened. It is necessary to wash ourselves from dirt, and prayer is washing ourselves from spiritual filth, that is, from sins, especially tearful prayer. You do not receive from God what you ask of Him because you do not put aside the abomination of idolatry, the service of your belly. You pray to the true gods, but you serve the god belly. No man can serve two masters. St. Matthew 6, chapter 24th verse. Cease to serve the idol, the belly, and then trust to receive from God that which you ask of Him. Else you pray to the true God and serve a false god. Ask Him if He can give you what you ask, or you serve the demon of extortion, and therefore the true God, whom you neglect and forsake, does not fulfill your prayers. Or else you serve the idol of pride and vanity, and therefore the Lord does not listen to the prayers of an adulterous heart. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out of cisterns, broken cisterns. Jeremiah 2:13. Well then, drink out of these cisterns, dead dark water and thick cloud. Psalm 28:11.